This is the word of the Lord found in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. The gospel according to John, chapter 1, the first 18 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The message on my mind, which brought me to this text, and which I think most of you already know and believe, is very simple. The human being known as Jesus of Nazareth, who is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, was, is, and ever will be God. Now, he wasn't always human. As a matter of fact, it says he was made flesh. So that remarkable event occurred within the context of human history. But the person who was the same person as that human being, Jesus of Nazareth, who is also called Jesus Christ, was, is, and always will be God, the creator of and the ruler of the universe. Now, as I said, I think most of you know that and believe it. It's a simple statement, a simple truth. It's difficult for many people to grasp that, though. It's difficult. In fact, a lot of people really like the teachings about Jesus as a good and wonderful man, a teacher that did some mighty remarkable things. But then it's difficult, the idea that a human being that could be a little baby that could actually suffer hunger and thirst and weariness and could actually go and die a human death could actually be the creator of the universe. It's hard sometimes to get our minds around that. Nevertheless, it is so. And if you are someone who likes the stories about Jesus of Nazareth, if you find it just wonderful that Jesus turned water into wine, well, that's described in only one place in the Bible. It's the next chapter John chapter 2. If you enjoy the account of where Jesus Christ healed the man that was without power to walk at the pool of Bethesda, and he couldn't get into the pool when the angel troubled the water, so the Lord Jesus came and told him to take up his bed and walk. That's in John chapter 5, same book. If you like the account of where the Lord Jesus Christ broke 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 people with 12 baskets of leftovers, if that story seems wonderful to you, that's described in John chapter 6. Now, it also appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but it's given in John chapter 6. If you like the account of the miracle where the Lord spat on the ground and made clay with the dust and the spit of his mouth and anointed a man's eyes and had him go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he was blind from birth, but he came out of that pool seeing, if that's wonderful to you, that's described in one place in Scripture, John chapter 9. If you love it when the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's John chapter 10. If you find it wonderful where the Lord stood outside the tomb of Lazarus and said to his departed friend, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the tomb, bound hand and feet with grave clothes. That's John chapter 11. If you find it wonderful that this great, mighty person, Jesus Christ, with his disciples and all their flaws that would argue about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom and all the things that they got wrong, that before he died, he rose from supper and took a towel and a basin of water and washed their feet. If that seems marvelous and wonderful to you, that's John chapter 13. You may have even seen it as a meme online. I think it's a wonderful meme. What would you do if you knew you only had 24 hours left to live? Jesus knew, and he washed feet. If you think it's wonderful that in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was arrested, he asked, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. And everybody that came to arrest him fell down at his feet. And he asked them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go. Speaking of his disciples. If that seems mighty and courageous to you, that's John chapter 18. What I'm saying is, if you want to throw out John chapter 1 because it describes Jesus of Nazareth as God, then you're in trouble. You have to pick and choose what portions of this book and pick and choose what portions of the Bible you're going to go along with. And let me tell you, I don't have the ability to be that kind of editor. And if you're honest with yourself, neither do you. The word of the Lord in the Bible is all true. Look further through the statements of Jesus Christ in the Bible in just the book of John. Let's go on into other things that he said. In chapter 6, where he fed the 5,000, he said, I am the bread of life. And when he said, I am, it harkens back to what God said to Moses in the burning bush when Moses said, what am I going to tell the children of Israel your name is? What is your name? And God says, I am that I am. Tell them, I am sent thee. Well, here in John chapter 6, Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. If you go to John chapter 10, he said, not only I am the door of the sheepfold, he said, I am the good shepherd. If you go to John chapter 11, when he raises Lazarus, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. As a matter of fact, I missed one in John chapter 8 when he was asked, saying, you're not yet 50 years old, and did you know Abraham? the Lord Jesus Christ said, before Abraham was, I am. If you go to John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you go back to Mark chapter 14, at his trial, when the high priest stood up and said, I adjure thee by the living God, art thou the Christ, the Son of the blessed? That is, are you the Messiah, the one who is begotten of God? Jesus Christ said, I am. And henceforth thou shalt see the Son of Man seated on the right hand of glory and coming in the clouds. Now, brothers and sisters, we love those gentle teachings about judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment ye measure it shall be meted unto you. We love those gentle teachings about Jesus Christ saying, whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye also unto them. We love that gentle teaching about suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. We love those miracles. We love those gentle teachings. We love the love that's in those. But I want you to know the same Bible that records these things so that we know something about Jesus Christ records this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You know, if you were a reader that was going through the Bible the first time, and you were reading from Genesis, and you'd read through the whole Old Testament, and then you'd read into the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you start reading about this, you might first say, well, who or what is this Word that's under consideration? Word, and they've got it with a capital W. Let me say this before I go further. Word, when it's describing the Lord Jesus Christ, is not always capitalized in the Scripture, not even in the King James translation of the Scripture. And you don't need to go by the font when you're looking in the Scripture. You need to go by the context. And you'll see there are places where Word is not capitalized, and it's still obvious it's talking about this living Word here, because it says things like, all things are naked and open with Him with whom we have to do. Refers to the Word as a person. You can tell it in context, whether it's speaking about the written Word, the Scripture, the preached Word, the Gospel, or the living Word, the one that is one with God. So when you read this, you might say, well, what or who is it talking about? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word is one and the same as God. But what is the Word? The same was in the beginning with God. All right, as long as there's been God, which is forever, there's been this Word. No. Somebody might say, well, who created the angels? God, the Word. Who created the seraphims and the cherubims? God, the Word. Who created Satan? God, the Word. Who created the creatures of earth and even the creatures on planets and other galaxies? God, the Word. He created these things. Well, then who created God? No one. God always has been, is now, and ever will be as the great I am. He's always there, and that's what it says. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Now, there's restricted uses of the word all. I hope to get to some. But this one's unrestricted. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. How is it you're going to restrict the use of the word all in other scriptures, but you say this one's unrestricted? Because of the phrase that follows it. All things were made by Him. Is that a restricted all or not? Well, the next phrase tells us, no, it wasn't. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Every single creature, thing, object, energy, property in the universe, whether it's this planet, other planets, this galaxy, other galaxies, if whatever exists, whether it's a universe or a multiverse or whatever it is, God, the Word, created it. And it's important for us to understand how great a being that's under consideration here now. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is living, and he's the true and living God, and he's the source of anything that has life. No matter what kind of being it is, whether it's an angel or a devil or a cherubim or a seraphim or a bug or a frog or a bird or even a human being, this Word, which is God, is the source of that life. In him was life. He's living. And the life was the light of men. That is, he's the source of life and light. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Whether it's the light of natural light that we use our eyes to see, or if it's spiritual light, whether it's that, any kind of light, natural, physical, supernatural, spiritual, any kind of true light is from the Word, which is God. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness does not understand that it is being obliterated or dissipated by the light. You know, this is a lesson to us too. I want you to know something about the enemy, Satan. He's been studying. He's very intelligent, very, very powerful, and very intelligent. He's been studying the human race for 6,000 years. When we're walking in the flesh as beings who are fallen, he can predict what we're going to do in almost every circumstance if we're walking in the flesh, because he's been observing it so long. I don't know what kind of records he keeps, but he's been watching human reactions to certain circumstances so long that if we're walking in the flesh, he knows what we're going to do next. He knows how to motivate our flesh. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. If you are walking according to the leadership of God's Spirit, according to the light he gives, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not understand it. You catch him by surprise every time. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You ever wonder why Job perplexed Satan so much? After Satan had taken away all his assets, all his income, all his children, all his health, he told God, if I do these things, X, Y, Z, then Job will do W here, which is curse you to your face. And Job didn't do it. You read the book of Job, it's got 42 chapters. After chapter 2, Satan shuts up. You know why? Because the light that was within Job shone in the darkness, and the darkness didn't understand it. Job beat the devil. You know why? Greater was he that was within Job than the prince of this world, which is Satan. Now, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I want to hasten to say that the John being written about is different from the John doing the writing. The one doing the writing is John the Apostle. He was the son of Zebedee and had a brother named James. James and John, the son of Zebedee, later became called James and John, the apostles of Jesus Christ. And John wrote this gospel according to John, and he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd epistles of John, and he also wrote the book of Revelation. That's the John who's doing the writing. The John he's talking about here in verse 6 and onward is a different John. He's John that was called the Baptist. And he was the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And I expect he didn't have any brothers, because Elizabeth bore him when she was very old, way past childbearing age. And so John the Apostle is writing now about a different man named John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And I want you to know, John was a man. He was a human being. John had faults. He had failures. He had weaknesses. He was a remarkable man. But the thing that was most remarkable about John the Baptist is he was sent from God. And he faithfully went according as God sent him. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. All right, John the Baptist came to give a testimony, to bear witness of the light. What light? Referring back to the Word that was with God and was God. In him was light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John the Baptist was going to bear witness of this light, that all men through him might believe. All right, right here. This all doesn't mean all without exception. You know why? Because if it did, that meant everybody would have believed John that heard him, and they wouldn't have put him to death. You know, if everybody believed John was the witness of God and it affected them that way, somebody like Herodias wouldn't have said, cut off his head and bring it to me on a silver charger. That wouldn't have happened. There wouldn't have been people that rejected the baptism of John. They would have believed this is a message, and he's given witness of the light. The light is God. He's telling us exactly what God wants us to know, and so we believe it. Well, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. So what does this all men, that all men through him might believe, mean? It means all kinds of men. And you'll read about this in Luke chapter 3. Go read it. John is preaching in the wilderness there, and people come from great multitudes come to his baptism, and they come to him asking questions about life. A lot of people come to him and says, well, okay, if God's commanded us to repent, what shall we do? And John says, he that has two coats, let him give to one that has no coat. And he that's got food, he's got meat, let him impart to them also. And the publicans, the tax collectors, came to him wanting to know how they could repent. And they said, what should we do? And John said, exact no more than that which is appointed you. That is, you collect the taxes that Caesar has you to collect, and you draw your salary and live off that and invest that. But a lot of these tax collectors were collecting more than they were even supposed to and pocketing the difference and getting very rich doing that. They were taking things wrongfully. John said, you want to repent? Quit doing that. You just take up what the empire says you've got to collect as taxes, and you take no more than what you collect for the empire and the salary that you deserve from that. Then the soldiers came to John the Baptist. This is in Luke chapter 3. And said, what should we do? We want to repent. Can you imagine? These soldiers came from all over the empire. Some were Italian, some were German, some were French, some were from the Middle East, some may have been from North Africa, all these people, some were locals. And they came to John and said, what should we do? And he said, do violence to no man, be content with your wages, and you falsely accuse no man. So John was saying, you fellas have power, you've got weapons. You defend, draw your weapon when you've got to defend, keep the peace. But don't you go around mistreating people, doing wanton violence. Don't you complain about your wages and try to make it up by taking from the people that you work among. And then don't you bring false accusation. If you're going to do justice, you only bring up an accusation when somebody has really broken the law. Don't you go around misusing the power and the controlled violence that the state has given you. If you want to repent. So John was here dealing with all kind of folks. Folks from maybe all over the place. And some of them were common people. Some of them were tax collectors. Some of them were soldiers. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. All kinds of men. That's what that means. All manner of human beings. Doesn't mean every human being without exception. It means all kinds of people might believe. And they did. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. As marvelous as the ministry of John the Baptist was, he was not the Christ. He was not the light. He was not the one in whom was life. And he was not the Word that was God. He was just a man. But he was a faithful witness. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, in a sense, naturally speaking, any light that falls on any human being did come from Jesus Christ, because he created light when he said, "Let there be light," in the beginning. He created the sun and the moon and the stars. Any natural light that falls on any person is from the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know, when you're talking about spiritual life, when you're talking about spiritual light, when you're talking about that life in Jesus Christ, then every man, again, speaks to every kind of man that comes into the world. Like I say, natural light, anybody that comes into creation, if light shines upon them, he is the one that shines that light. Even if it's a little child that only lives for a few moments in the womb, the light of life comes to them by Jesus Christ. Do you know when a seed and an egg meet and you have a fertilization and there's conception under electron microscopes now? They've seen that, and the moment that occurs, there's an emission of light that takes place. Where did that light come from? From the Word, which was God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, does every person, does everyone that comes into creation get that light of spiritual light, where they're delivered from their death and trespasses and sins into life in Jesus Christ? No. Only those that come into the world of his beloved are that way. But even the natural world, anyone that comes into the natural world, any light that comes upon them, the light of conception, the light of the sun, the light of the moon, the light of the stars, the light of a candle, anyone that receives that, he made that light. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Then it says in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. By and large, creation didn't know the Creator. He came into the creation in a very special way, and the creation didn't realize he was here, didn't know he was here. Then the scripture gets more specific. Now, if you have your Bibles with you and you're reading along with me, it says he came unto his own and his own received him not. That's speaking of coming into the people in which he was born. The Jews, the Israelites, those that had for hundreds of years been compiling the scriptures of the Old Testament, been offering up sacrifices unto God, waiting for the Messiah. He came unto them. By and large, the Jewish nation didn't receive him either. The world didn't receive him. They didn't know him. And the Jewish nation of his generation didn't receive him. Some did, but as a whole, as a majority, they didn't receive him. Now, if you've got your Bibles with you, I want you to notice that verses 12 and 13 are one sentence, not two sentences, and it's important, the punctuation there. This is one sentence. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, when it is mentioned there, received is past tense, gave is past tense, but believe is present tense. And then you go to verse 13 and it says, which were born, that's past perfect. So if you know anything about grammar, their past perfect happens first, then the past, and then the present. So what's that important for? It's because when one becomes a son of God, they have already received him in a very spiritual sense, and they already were born. And notice, they weren't born of the blood. That is, this is not a genetic, this is not an ancestry thing. Nor of the will of the flesh. This is not a thing of physical works. Nor of the will of man. This is not even a human choice. The way they were born of God was not because of their ancestry, not because of the merit of their deeds, not because of the correctness of their choice or belief. They were born by the sovereign grace of God. So it says, but as many as received him, okay, that is some sense he was received, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So there's a sense in which a person becomes a son of God when they believe on the name that was given to this word that was God. All right, what is that? Because these people already were sons of God by the new birth, by the spiritual birth. It says, which were born, that already happened. Not of the blood, not ancestry, not the will of the flesh, not works, not the will of man, not choices or beliefs, but of God. That is already, as far as the reality of their life in the sight of God, they were already born of God. They were already sons of God by the new birth. Well, what does belief do? How do they become sons of God by belief? It's because when they believe on the name of the one who is the Word of God, then they are blessed to be sons of God, not only in God's sight, but in their own sight. They are blessed to be manifest, conscious sons of God. It's almost like somebody that was lost or adopted at birth. They were, at that time, they were already biologically, in reality, they were already the child of their biological mother. But many years, maybe they've been somewhere else, maybe raised by a different family or something, and they don't know that until one day they do some ancestry.com or 23andMe or some circumstance results, and they find out this is my biological mother, and they go and they see that person, and wow, you know, the similarity of the features and stuff is obvious, and they believe, yes, this really is my biological mother. Well, did that make it so? Was it not so before that? No, it was an actual biological objective reality before that. But now, in the subjective knowledge of that child, they are a child of that mother. They realize it. And it's the same sense. How do you objectively get to be a son of God? Well, God, by his sovereign purposes, causes you to be born again of his Spirit. That's it. Objectively, it happens. It happens without the gospel. It happens without your belief. It happens without your works. It happens without your ancestry. God comes into the heart of a sinner that doesn't deserve it, calls him to life eternal, and they have it, and it never fails. They're born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. They're born of God. But when this person hears the gospel, and the gospel is in the name and the truth of the Word, which was God, and they believe that, all of a sudden, they, in their own realization, in their own perception, in their own relief, in their own rest, in their own joy, become a son of God. Even them that believe on his name. And then in verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay, now we come to it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And now we come to verse 14 and it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It tells us that this one that was God and that made the universe also was made flesh and lived among other people. Isn't that remarkable? Isn't that wonderful? But we still can just say, okay, there was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. Okay, we know that. What else do we need to know? Verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. How did this Word that was made flesh come after John the Baptist? Well, John the Baptist was born several months, about 6 months, I think, prior to the one that came into the world when the Word was made flesh. John the Baptist actually was the cousin of this Word made flesh, because their mothers were cousins, and he was a few months ahead of his cousin. So he came, so this cousin that was the Word of God came after John the Baptist. Furthermore, the ministry of John the Baptist, public ministry, started before the public ministry of the Word of God. So John the Baptist said here, "He that cometh after me." He was the forerunner. The one was coming after. "He that cometh after me is preferred before me." That is, he's coming later. I'm the forerunner and he's coming later. But he is greater than I am. He's preferred before me. "For he was before me." How much further before John the Baptist was the Word? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He was eternally before John. Eternally. He came after John in his birth and in his ministry. But before John, not only was he preferred, not only is he greater, he's eternally alive before John the Baptist existed. "And of his fullness," verse 16, "and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Now here's John is writing about the children of God, all that have received him. We've received of his fullness. In Colossians, the Apostle Paul will later write, "And in Jesus Christ, in him, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Is that a description of Jesus Christ as God? I believe it is. "In Jesus Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And here, John the Apostle writes, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." There was grace in God, grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you receive grace from God because there's grace in God. It's one of his marvelous attributes. Verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Now here it is. It's pinned down now. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And now we come to verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us was named Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is God, the creator of the universe. And since God changes not, and since Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus Christ was God, is God, and always will be God. The law was given by Moses. Now, the law wasn't given from Moses. Where did the law come from? God. But it was given by Moses. Moses got it as tablets and by God speaking to him. And he came down and gave it to Israel. So God was the source of the law, but Moses was the means. He was the means by which God got the law to Israel. God was the source. Moses was the means. What about grace and truth? For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. God is the source of grace and truth. What is the means by which this grace and truth gets to people? Jesus Christ. Notice this. The preacher is not the means by which people get grace and truth. The Bible is not the means by which people get grace and truth. The prayers of people are not the means by which others get grace and truth. The church is not the means by which people get grace and truth. God is the only source of grace and truth, and Jesus Christ is the only means by which God's people get grace and truth. God is both the source and the means of eternal salvation and of the new birth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. No human being at the time of that writing, and it may be onward into everlasting days, no man hath seen God at any time. When God spoke with Adam as he walked in the garden in the cool of the day, The only visible portion of God is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When the elders of Israel went up with Moses and Aaron on Mount Sinai, and it says, and they saw the God of Israel and did eat and drink at his presence, they were seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. When Moses was put in the cleft of the rock, and God made just his back parts pass in front of the cleft of the rock that Moses could see his glory, he was looking at Jesus Christ. And so when Philip in John chapter 14 says, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, the Lord Jesus answered, have I been with you so long, Philip, and hast thou not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That is, he's the one that declared him. He's the one that proclaimed him. He is the one who shows forth God, the visible portion of the almighty three-in-one God that human beings get to see is Jesus Christ the Lord. May God bless you. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Dear God, we thank you that grace and truth come by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, from the Scripture it was at such a great cost that this one who created the universe came to be a man. And the Bible says he was crucified through weakness, Lord. As a human being, he came and suffered and bled and died. And not only that, oh God, but he died not only the physical death, but he died the death under the wrath of God to pay for our sins, Lord. And so by the Lord Jesus Christ came grace and truth. Help us ever to be grateful, Lord, for this marvelous good news, Lord, that we have life in God because of the sacrifice of the Word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Dear Father, help us to love one another, for he taught that this is the way that we love him. If we love him, we are to keep his commandments. Help us to keep the commandments of our Savior, dear God. Lord, we need you so much. We thank God. We thank you, dear Father, that you're so merciful to us. Give us your Holy Spirit. Please, Lord, give us your divine wisdom. Please forgive us our sins and help us to be a blessing to other people, and that we might glorify your name all the days that we live. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.